You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
If your Social Security benefits have been denied, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns! Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Juravicius here in the Dog Bowl in Berea on this Monday. And I'll tell you what, the Browns staff has drawn some attention. We've heard Kyle Shanahan's name as a potential head coaching candidate in San Francisco. We also heard his dad's name there. And I can tell you that Ray Farmer's executive chief of staff on the personnel side, Bill Kuharik, has interviewed with the New York Jets for their general manager job, interviewed with them on New Year's Day, an interview that reportedly went very, very well. So the Browns staff that they have put together has been generating some interest around the NFL, and obviously nothing official yet on either one of those sides. I know that Billy Kay did interview with the Jets. And again, that reflects well on this organization, the two of the top lieutenants here drawing some interest to be the head guys somewhere else.
It does. Do you think that a lot of the coaching decisions that have to be made will continue to be drug on through some of the other top coordinators that are out there with the remaining playoff teams until the playoffs are over?
Yeah, I think so, because, Gase is such a big one right now. Quinn is a big one right now with the Seattle Seahawks. Gary Kubiak starting to get interest again with the Baltimore Ravens. So I think I think those three guys are coaching candidates that people are certainly waiting on and wanting to see what their status is.
It's amazing for people out there when you have not only the transition of players, rookies leave, you got free agents that they've cut and released, but when you got to start thinking about, you have an offensive coordinator, a young, talented offensive coordinator, could be the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, or you've got a guy leaving the front office maybe because he's going to be the general manager. When you have that change, man, it shows you're doing the right things here, and I really do believe these guys are doing the right thing here. And it shows. When you have that type of interest, there's no question that it shows you're doing the right
thing. Well, and the hard part is like when you lose, a hot commodity like Kyle Shanahan is replacing
you do,
him.
Right.
Going out and finding someone that, because again, you got to figure Ray Farmer and his staff are building a team to fit Kyle Shanahan's offense, in his mold of that zone. You don't want to go draft a power run blocker in a zone scheme. You don't want to go draft a power runner in a zone scheme, so on and so forth.
You gotta bring his dad in.
His dad actually just interviewed for the Bills and the Raiders jobs as well. So the Shanahans are making their way around the National Football League for sure.
They are. And listen, you would certainly want to see at least some continuity on this offensive side of the ball. That would be, in my opinion, very, very important for this team and for their continued development. Because if you think about it, one thing we've talked about so far is that, Johnny Manziel had that struggle adapting the NFL. Well, if you change offensive coordinators, he's learning a whole new playbook again next year, and that would retard his development. And that's the area that I think he needs to make the biggest improvement.
Let me tell you, this is where I go back to, Nathan, you're 100% right on this for one reason. When I got here in 06, we had Maurice Carthon, okay? We went from Maurice Carthon to Jeff Davidson to Rob Chudzinski to Brian Daboll. Daboll's gone, another offense coordinator comes in. And all these quarterbacks that we've had from 06 up until, let's say, 08, 09, when you change as much as we've changed, it's hard sometimes to blame a young quarterback, because it's like if we can't get it right coaching-wise and we keep changing coordinators because we're not happy, or we keep changing general managers and those philosophies keep changing, how can you expect a young quarterback that's very impressionable coming out of college to grasp not only one, but two and sometimes three different playbooks?
Well, that name that we've already talked about when I made reference to Jim Harbaugh is Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith, 4 years in the league as the number one overall pick out of the University of Utah, having four different offensive coordinators out there in San Francisco. So it was very tough. And for him, it was, every time he'd make a progression, a change
over
in system, just brought on a natural regression because he had to relearn everything over. And I think also, too, even though they were drafting, high draft picks, it's adding the right pieces around him as a player, and they were just getting it wrong in the draft and the high turnover from an offensive coordinator standpoint.
You think teams would like to look at older offensive coordinators that have established quarterbacks, like a guy that, if I was going to be an offensive coordinator for Tom Brady, like McDaniels is, or if I was going to do the same thing for Peyton Manning, you would almost think that would be the most cush job in the National Football League, because you have a quarterback that's not going anywhere anytime soon. He's going to consistently play well, and when he plays well, you get paid well. And that's almost like a good thing. But when you start hiring these hotshot young coaches – and right, because they've got great football minds, you almost have to kind of predict that in a year or two, if he continues to do this, he's going for the head coaching job, whether it's at the collegiate level or the pro level.
It is tough, and I think it's interesting that when you look at teams that have a lot of offensive coordinator turnover, there are two types of teams that have a lot of offensive coordinator turnover. The teams that offenses stink and they end up getting fired or move on, or the teams that have the great quarterbacks, so coordinators get moved on to better jobs, but they continue to thrive. You look at Green Bay, that's what, you know, they can have turnover there, and it's fine for Aaron Rodgers. In New England, Tom Brady's had different guys, it seems like, all the time. Bill O'Brien was there. McDaniel's there. Now McDaniel's is back. But the offense stays the same. The concept stays the same because the quarterback is running that show.
You're absolutely right. Like Joe Philbin, offensive coordinator in Green Bay, takes the Miami head coaching job. Ben McAdoo, who became the quarterback's coach, not offensive coordinator, is now the offensive coordinator with the New York Giants. And again, Green Bay's offense is as explosive, if not more, than it's been in the last 5 years.
Because they have Aaron Rodgers, as we get back to the point that a quarterback's important. Clark in Akron, welcome to the show.
Guys, I was calling in to find out, what do you guys think about Cleveland possibly getting Sam Bradford, and what would that take? I know he's had some injury problems, but, you know, sometimes a change of scenery would be good for a guy.
Sam Bradford's an interesting one. You know,
big number, isn't he?
It's a big number. I'm pulling it up right now. What is 2000?
I think it's 20.
His 2015 number would be about $16,580,000. Now, I think there's a very good chance that he's going to get.
You want to be Sam Bradford too,
can
Joe?
I be Sam too.
I think he's going to get released. I think he's going to get released because they can cut him and save about $13 million on their cap by cutting Sam Bradford. So I think there's a good chance he could end up being a free agent, and he could be somebody that would be an option. Former number one overall pick, former Heisman winner out of the University of Oklahoma. He's somebody that I think you could see the Browns look at. He's a free agent at the end of next year. Now, like I said, they could cut him, which if they do cut him, then the Browns can negotiate their own deal with him.
I think that might not be a bad idea for the St. Louis Rams, and a lot of the reason is you know, Jeff Fisher wanting to I think he's good this season, but to save his job and save face there as the head football coach of the St. Louis Rams, because the losses of Sam Bradford and the losses of the quarterback position the 2 seasons since Jeff Fisher has been there has been the detriment of that football team. And oh, mind you, they're playing in probably the most difficult division, you know, in all of football, with Arizona, San Francisco, and Seattle. So they want to be competitive, and I think, and again, very physical division. So having a porcelain doll at quarterback does not bode well for the St. Louis Rams.
And that's why, if they did release him and we picked him, you might want to sign him to the new rookie contract.
That's right.
Make him prove himself. Give him league minimum. Let him play 4 years.
I felt bad for Cam. You're right, man. Bradford gets $80 million, 50 guaranteed.
6 years.
And then Cam signs for like $19.75.
$78 million. $78 million. And again, he was a first-round talent, first pick, you know, that type of deal. But that's so much money. And when you sit there and think about it, like, you really haven't done much other than get injured.
No,
that's why it's been. That's why it's been changed.
That scale's changed now. But yeah, how about that one? You bring him in here for the new rookie's contract because he's already made the veteran contract, and let him prove himself.
He's already made a second contract. We'll give him another shot there. Absolutely. All right. When we come back, hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll get to those wild card games. We'll continue to take your calls. Talk football. 216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Juravicious here in the Dog Bowl in Berea.